morning, everyone. Hope everyone's doing well this morning. Let's all stand and do the doxology, please. Sing the doxology.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord for the rain and the promise of increase that it brings. Amen?
Amen.
We're just so glad that you're all here today. You know, we need to remember praying for our pastor as he is on his vacation or away. And so we need to continue to remember him in prayer. And I want to just say thank you to the church and to Pastor Ed for allowing me and giving me the opportunity to bring the message this morning. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, we are so thankful today for all that you've shown to us. We're so thankful for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that as we come together today to worship you in spirit and in truth, that you will help us to be ever so mindful of your presence and that your spirit will move freely among us, trying each and every heart. Father, we thank you for the salvation that you have given to us, for Lord, it is a great salvation. We pray that you will help us to share that with others. We humbly pray and give you all honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Jim. I appreciate that very much. And we indeed do welcome you to today as you present the message, God's message to us later on. As always, let's all stand together and sing together our hymn sing this morning, Blessed Be the Name. Blessed Be the Name. We'll sing all four verses as we stand, please.
welcome somebody this morning.
Well, good morning to you all again, and it's good to see you all and smiling faces this morning. I have some announcements I want to share with you at this time, and the first thing, as far as the day goes, we will, of course, Pastor Jim will be presenting, bringing our message to us today, and in absence of our pastor, who is on vacation, and we'll also, at the end of the service today, we'll be having our quarterly conference, and so you all be prepared for that, those of you who might have a part in it. So, as far as announcements go, Annie Armstrong Easter offering will continue on through the month of April, and so you all please be part of that. May the 5th, church-wide discipleship training at 5:30. Pastor Ed will be conducting that, so you all be here in your places and for that. Let's try to have a good attendance for that. April and NC Baptist Children's Home Spring Food Drive is still in place, so you continue to bring your gifts for money or food. And if you do bring the food, we'll, by April, I believe it's, wait a minute, I think maybe the food drive is today. That's right, today is the day. So if you don't have it here, we'll just bring money. We can do it that way. All right, okay. Youth night schedule. You youth, be looking at your youth night schedule for the dates of April and May, and they're there for you for that. Is there any other information that I may have overlooked? Okay, that being the case, let's now go to our prayer list this morning, prayer concerns, and our prayer concerns, of course, is for Pastor Ed. He is one of them. He's traveling, and he is there. We talked a couple times by text, and he is there having a wonderful time with his family and a family reunion there, so I'm glad God gave him traveling mercy was there. He did have quite a few traffic jams on the interstate, which is part of traveling more, Robert, you know that. And so anyway, so that's, he shared that with me, but he's there safe and sound. Let's remember Ruth Eford this morning. Ruth continues to be in the hospital at Northeast, and she's there for observation. She's having some problems getting all the body back in sync the way it needs to be after surgery. And so let's keep in much in prayer for her. We hope and praying that she'll get to come home today. Not sure of that. We also need to remember Tony. Tony, as he continues to deal with skin cancers and the treatment of those. Let's remember him for that. Gary and Tonda Hamilton, they're getting ready to go on a tour of all tours across the USA. And you just think about it. Pray for Tonda. No, I'm teasing. I shouldn't do that because he's not even here to hear me. He's working on other things right now. So let's remember Gary and Tonda as they go on their tour of the U.S. I think that's wonderful to go. That's wonderful, Tonda. It is. Let's also remember Jeff and Lori. They're going to be needing traveling mercy. They're getting ready to go down and meet their son who's back from service. And yeah. And how many years now has he been gone? I've lost track. How long? 22. You need to show a picture of him when you get time. He says, what a change he's made in 22 years. Looks just like you, by the way.
He's a miniature virgin.
Well, that's the way it should be, right? Absolutely. All right. Are there other prayer concerns this morning that was before we go to the Lord in prayer? Yes. Okay. Janice, you mentioned in Sunday school, and I wrote it down there and didn't bring it in here.
Betsy Gibson, she's not only in a wheelchair now, but she's getting to the point she can't swallow.
Okay. All right. Betsy Gibson. All right. Are there others? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we again thank you. Thank you for an opportunity we have, Lord, to be in your house at time of prayer where we can come to you, Lord, and ask for things. And our petitions are answered, Lord, and we know that you hear our prayers. But, Lord, we also want you to hear our thanks Lord, I thank you, Lord, far outnumber our requests. Lord, we do thank you so much for everything you give us, all the blessings you bestow upon us, the fact we're here this morning, that those are here and prioritize their time. Lord, it's so wonderful to see them in the Lord's house. We thank you for those blessings. Thank you for the rain, as Brother James has already expressed. Thank you for what we need. And Lord, as we go forward today, Lord, we want to remember specifically those who have asked for prayer. We pray for Pastor Jim as he stands come before us today, as he delivers the message. And then we pray for our Pastor Ed, who is traveling. We thank you for the traveling mercies already extended to him, and Lord, in the fellowship he's having with his family. And we pray for safe return. Then, Lord, we pray for Ruth Eford, Lord, as she is still in the hospital this morning and dealing with issues, Lord, and we ask for healing of her body, and we lift her up to you, Lord, and for all those caregivers who will be helping her, Lord, we pray for her. We pray for Tony as he continues to deal with skin cancers, Lord. You know, Lord, that you can touch his body and make him whole again. We pray for that. We lift up Gary and Tonda, Lord, to you this morning as they will begin their travels, Lord, to see the beautiful USA. And Lord, we thank you for them, and we ask, continue to bless them, Lord. Pray for Jeff and Lori for traveling mercy today, Lord, as they travel down to the east to see their son. And we pray for that reunion, for a wonderful time it will be. And then, Lord, we pray for nephew Jamie Johnson, Lord, we pick him up to this morning. And then for Betsy Gibson, Lord, who's having a difficult time, Lord, we ask for healing for her body as well. Again, Lord, we thank you for an opportunity we have to be able to worship and freely worship your name. And now, Lord, we close and ask your blessing upon those who have part in our service today. We ask a blessing upon our praise team, Lord, who will be coming and presenting music to us in a few moments. And then again, we lift up Brother James to you as well. And these blessings I pray in your name. Amen. Speaking of the praise team, come on, ladies, and let's do that. I told them as we rehearsed this song that I would probably end up doing more following than I am singing with, but we'll see. One good thing about singing harmony, you don't have to sing the lead, and that's a good thing about that. But, Tonda, I want you, when you get up here, I want you to introduce this song, because I know this song means a lot to you.
I know you were. I told the guys this morning when they turned on up there for the three of us, I said, today, if this one doesn't excite everybody, your wood's wet, because this is one we got to all get up and enjoy. What a glorious day. It's a blended contemporary with victory and Jesus in it, and it's just beautiful. So don't pay attention to us. Just pay attention to the words, because we're sort of practicing this together.
And we probably won't be still up here either.
We probably won't be still. But we didn't get to practice with Leonard this morning. I said, oh, well, we'll just let him follow. He'll just have to follow us as we go.
Yeah, so, I'm used to that.
You're used to that. All right. So just enjoy with us.
It was my
Children, you are dismissed.
Good morning.
Morning.
It is so good to see all of your smiling faces today. Boy, that song was one of those toe-tapping songs, wasn't it? I listened to them singing and all and started, my foot just started tapping away. And I thought about a movie that I saw recently, and it was a Christian movie. And it was about this preacher in a, and I'm going to say he was in a Pentecostal church. But when they got to singing, he said he'd get filled with the Spirit and you'd see him running around the church, shouting. You know, and he church finally said, hey, you got to do something with that, man. We can't put up with that. And so every time they'd get up to sing, and they'd get to singing, he'd get filled with the Spirit, and he'd jump up, and around the church he'd go. And they finally said, you got to go. We can't tolerate that. So the hierarchy of the churches, and I'm assuming, I don't know much about Pentecostals or any of that, but I'm assuming that the higher-ups, they came down, and they talked with him and told him, you know, we're going to have to transfer you to a different church. So they transferred him to a different church, and he moved in, and it happened to be a black church. And he's the only Anglo there, him and his family. And they asked him about what was going on. They wouldn't believe that they sent him a white preacher. And so he told him, he said, you know, I like to, when I get filled with the Spirit, well, I run around church and I shout. And they looked at him and said, you'll fit right in. You know, I think that's what we need to do, is get filled with that Spirit, don't you? I'm not saying everybody get up and run around church now, but now, you know what? God does expect us to have a good time in Him, and He expects us to be obedient to what He says and what He does. If you have your Bibles, open with me to the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 28. Now, I'm going to just read two verses of that chapter, and then we're going to go over to chapter 29, and I want to read two verses of it. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read these four verses, and then we're going to look at the entire chapter of chapter 28. Okay, now don't let that scare you, because that doesn't mean that I'm going to preach for 2 or 3 hours. Okay, only for probably an hour and a half. I'm kidding. But Deuteronomy chapter 28, and I want to look at verses 1 and 2. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now turn over to chapter 29 and the first two verses there. And these are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants and unto all his land. Our gracious Father in heaven, we are so thankful for your word. For Lord, your word is our strength, our shield, our hope. Your word is everything to us, and we ask you to guide us into the preaching of your word. And as we have come together to break forth the bread of life, we ask you, Lord, to anoint us with your Spirit. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will bind Satan from this invitation service, from this entire service, and that, Lord, your spirit will move freely among us, trying each and every heart. And Lord, we ask you to speak to us and through us, that, Lord, we may bring people to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we just give you all honor, glory, and praise, and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've entitled this message this morning, Blessings and Curses. Blessings and Cursings. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 28, it brings out blessings and curses. And as I read about the first two verses there, he says, and all these blessings shall come on thee. And in the next verses, from verses 3 through 14, he deals with the blessings that God is going to give them when they obey his word. Okay? And so I want to ask you, have you ever received blessings from the Lord? Now, those of you who are saved are going to either tell me yes or no, and I'm going to tell you, if you haven't received blessings from the Lord, then maybe you've not ever been saved. Because that's the biggest blessing that we have, is it not? It's salvation. There is nothing greater than the salvation that God has given to us. And as I believe it was Paul that said it, when he said, "Why? How can we neglect so great a salvation?" Because it is great. You see, so we have come to know him as Lord and Savior. So that is the blessing. So why? Because he loves us. He loves those who love him and who obey him. We also receive cursings when we disobey his commands. There's three things that I want us to see in this 28th chapter of Deuteronomy and the first two verses of chapter 29. And so as we look at these verses, I want us to keep into mind of why we get blessed and why we get cursed. Now, we can take and say all of this is the Old Testament and it's dealing with specifically with Israel, and that it is. However, it is applicable to us today. We can apply it to our lives, not only individually, but as a church. And not only as a church, but as a nation. And so we need to look at those things. And I'm going to try not to get political here today, okay? However, I am going to look at what America needs, of what the church needs, of what you and I need. So I'm going to look at those three things, and I want you to listen and to apply those things that we speak about today, because they're important to us. So first of all, what we need to see, and this is found in verses 1 through 14, is the blessings of obedience. You know, we've got to be obedient to the Word of God, do we not? You see, and why do we need to be obedient? We need to be obedient because we hear. You know, and I've probably used this illustration several times, but it's true. When I was growing up, my dad used to tell us, every one of all six of his kids, he said, "You will graduate from high school." He said, "I don't care if you're 40 years old, you're going to graduate from high school." And you know what? We all graduated when we were supposed to. But now, in my senior year of high school, my dad said, "Son, you're going to graduate, and because of that, I'm going to buy you this vehicle." And he bought me a 1960 Mercury. And now, mind you, this was in 1968. Okay, so it was 8 years old. Good car, really good car. But it was a blessing that I got because of obedience to my dad. Now, if I hadn't graduated that year, do you think I would have gotten that car? Would he have given me the blessing if I had been disobedient and not graduated? No. So why do we as an individual, as a church, and as a nation expect God to bless us when we're disobedient to him? See, why do we expect it? See, God wants to bless us, but he's not going to bless disobedience, is he? He's going to bless us when we obey Him. And we obey Him because we hear what He has to say. We hear it. In Proverbs 15:31, He says, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise." When we hear what God has spoken to us, and we respond to that favorably in obedience, then we become wise people, do we not? We become wise people because we are following the wisest one ever, and that's God. He created us. Jesus Christ created us, and because of that, we need to be obedient to Him because we are hearing what the Word of God says, and we're hearing it through the Spirit of the Lord because the Spirit of the Lord is who is speaking to us through the written Word that we have. If the Spirit's not talking to you, then you need to be crying out on your knees before the Lord and saying, "God, why? Why am I not hearing? What is it in my life that is helping, is keeping me or hindering me from hearing your word and hearing what you have to say?" Because God is speaking to us. And He speaks to us, and it is the voice of God. In verse 1 it says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord." You know, and I can stand up here and you can say, "Well, it's Jim Hopkins' voice. It may be my voice," but I'm going to tell you, the Word of God speaks to us. The written Word of God speaks to us. And you know what? I'm just an instrument that God is using to get His Word through, to help us to be obedient to what He has to say. See, because it's that voice of God. And sometimes it's a loud thunder. Sometimes it's an earth-shaking voice. And sometimes it's a still small voice. In 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 12, it says, "And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." Have you ever been driving down the road, and I know you have, brother, when the Lord would say, "No, don't go there." And you knew it was the Lord. It wasn't a big old loud voice saying, "Hey." It was one that said, "Don't go there. Don't go there." You know, it's like my mama, when I was real little, she'd say, "Son, don't touch that burner. It's hot." She didn't yell it. She just said, "Don't touch that burner. It's hot. And if I touch that burner," I believed her. You know, and I always tell people this all the time. You know, the older I get, the smarter my dad became. You know. But it's that still small voice that God speaks to us. It's that voice that in the middle of the night that you awaken to, that you know it's the voice of the Lord, and He's telling you to pray for someone, or He's telling you to witness to an individual, or He's telling you, "Hey, I know it's 1 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning, but you need to call so-and-so immediately." And you pick up the phone and you call them. And when you call them, you are surprised that they answer so quickly. And it's because they have an issue that they're not able to sleep. You know, people need one another, do we not? God says we are to be obedient to Him and to His voice. And we need to hear His voice because He's speaking to each one of us. And He tells us and directs our lives. It's a voice that's full of majesty. Well, I don't know about you, but He's my King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That makes Him majestic. That makes Him majestic. Ezekiel chapter 43 and verse 2 says, "And behold, the glory of the Lord God of Israel came from the way of the east, and His voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with His glory." Now, I don't know about y'all. I have never been to Niagara Falls, but I hear that when you get there, it's pretty noisy. Anybody been there? It's pretty noisy. Pretty noisy. But do you know what? I think that the voice of God is going to be louder. It's going to be louder than that. I know the trump of God is. Because when that trumpet blows, all of us are going to hear it. And those that are saved, guess where we're going to be? Meeting the Lord in the air. Why? Because we're being obedient to God. Doing what he wants us to do. That voice is so majestic that when we hear the voice, we do like Paul did. We fall to our knees. Why? Because we cannot stand in the presence of holiness. For he is holy. And he wants to bless us. And it's a voice that witnesses to Christ's divinity. In Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, he says, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him.'" And this was at the Mount of Transfiguration when they went and they saw Moses and Elijah were talking with Jesus. And then that voice came and talked to him and told him, "This is my beloved Son. Hear what he has to say." That's Hopkins' version. Hear what he has to say. Because what he says is the truth. We may not like the truth all the time, but it's good for us all the time. Amen. We may not like the truth at all. In fact, some people tell you, "Well, you're telling me the truth and you're telling me these things and it's hate speech." Well, I got news for you. The truth is never hate speech. It's always positive, good speech. Why? Because God told us to tell you. And if we're telling you, that means we love you. And if we love you, that means we don't want any harm to come to you. Amen? Because that's what we need to do, is it not? And we have to be obedient to God in order to be able to do those things. We have to be obedient to him. Blessings are promised when we obey. As I told you earlier about the car my dad bought me for graduating high school. Now I want you to listen to what Revelation 22 verse 14 says. "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." Now, you know, as a teenager, as much as I liked that car my dad bought me for graduation, this is going to be better. This graduation is going to be much better than that high school graduation. Why? Because I'm going to be with my Jesus. And I'm going to be there forever. And I'll no longer feel pain. I'll no longer not know everything. Because the Lord knows I don't know everything. I don't know all there is to know. Believe that? See, I don't know all there is to know. I never will until I go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says at that point, he will reveal all things to us. Because there are some things that you and I don't need to know right now. But God wants us to obey. That's what he wants us to know. That's what he wants us to learn. And we get those blessings when we obey him. All these verses from 3 through 14. And verse 3 says, "Blessed thou shalt be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field." No matter where you're at, God is going to bless you if you are obedient to his commands, to his word. You know, we talked this morning in Sunday school about the Great Commission. The Great Commission. You know what? The Great Commission is the great command. It's not the great suggestion. It's a command. And when God commands us to do something, we better snap to and do it. We need to do that, especially if we expect to be blessed. The second thing I want us to see is the curses of disobedience. Of disobedience. Verses 15 through 68 tells us all of these, that when we disobey, we find ourselves in trouble, don't we? When we speed on the highway and the cops catch us, we get a ticket, don't we? We pay a fine, do we not? Our insurance goes up, does it not? That's a curse, is it not? You know, my dad bought me another car prior to that 1960 Mercury, and it was a 1957 Chrysler, and he bought it for me, and I owned it about 24 hours. Short time. Now, you may say, why 24 hours? Well, I'm going to share with you why. I got the car at noon on Monday. Well, I went home for lunch. Dad handed me the keys, and I got in it, drove it back to school. And that night, I was clocked at 122 miles per hour, and the cops couldn't catch me with their vehicles, so they just waited for me in my driveway. And so when I got there, he said, okay, you're coming with me. And he drove me up onto my dad, where my dad worked. He was a miner, and so he was a shovel operator. And they had these vehicles that they loaded up, these trucks, that if you stood, my dad was 6 foot, and when he stood, he could raise his hand up like this and not even go to the halfway point of the wheel on the truck, okay? It held 100 tons. And these guys saw the cops coming, the cop car coming, and so they swerved their trucks over toward us. Well, me and that cop both about died, you know, from it. But he took me there. And Dad said, okay, son, he said, when you get home, you stay home. You don't go anywhere. So I got back home, and I didn't tell Mom what Dad said. I just said, well, I'm going out for a little while, and I went. Well, when Dad got home, you think he shook my hand? No, he didn't. But when I went to school the next morning, he said, just leave your keys because you're not driving it. So I didn't. And so when I went to school that day, I came home at lunch to have lunch. And I said, well, where's my car? And he said, your used-to-be car? He said, I sold it just a few minutes ago. I owned it for 24 hours because I wasn't obedient to my dad. Now, what do you think God does to us who are disobedient to him? You know, God's not going to bless, is he? There's curses that are done, that are given. Israel had been cursed because of their disobedience. Jeremiah 44:16 says, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. They just simply told Jeremiah, you know what? You've spoken to us the word of God, and we're not going to listen. Why? I can do it my way. I know what's best for me. Isn't that what we do sometimes? God speaks to us and say, no, Lord, I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it, Lord. You ever told God that you wasn't going to do something? I have. Guess what? I ended up doing it. Lord, I'm not going to Oaxaca. You can ask Janice about that. I'm not going to Oaxaca, Mexico. No way. Best time I ever had was in Oaxaca, Mexico. See, I went. We can disobey God or we can obey God. Sometimes we disobey God and we do what he said anyway. But you see, the thing is we've got to be in tune with him, and we've got to hear what his word says. And when the word of God speaks to our hearts, we've got to be able to say, yes, Lord, I will go. I will do. I will pray. I will, whatever it is that God is telling us to do, it's teach or preach or go be a missionary or whatever it may be. If God tells us to do it, we've got to do it, because disobedience robs us. Not only does it rob us, but it robs someone else as well. I remember, and some of y'all have heard me say this before, but Jerry Nadler, who is a member of Congress, made this statement a few years ago, and I want to get this right. because I don't want to misquote the man, but he said, and I quote, "This Congress does not concern itself with the will of God." Now, folks, without getting political, I'm going to tell you this. That's the problem with our country today, is we have stopped being concerned with the will of God. I mean, after all, we took him out of our schools. We have taken him out of our families. Some churches have even taken him out of their church. And we've definitely taken him out of our country because of disobedience. We hear the word of God, and if because it's not what we like, we tear it up. We throw it away. We don't want it. We don't want to hear it. That's not what we're going to do, because I'm going to do it my way. You remember that song? I did it my way. Well, when I did it my way, I got in trouble. When I do it God's way, I get blessed. See, but disobedience does that. There's penalties for that disobedience. In verse 15, it tells us about those, it says, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." Wow. Not just one or two of them, but all of them. You know, remember when Israel was disobedient to God, they were traveling through the wilderness. They could have been there in probably less than 30 days. Instead, it took them, what, 4 years? Why? Because they were disobedient to God. Was it 4 years or 40? 40. Yeah, I got it wrong. Not the first time. But 40 years, they wandered in that wilderness. How long do we need to wander in our wilderness, church, before we obey the word of God? Before we obey the word of God, how long are we going to wander? How long are we going to sit and do nothing? The reason that God was taken out of our schools was because the church was silent. The reason that God is taken out of our families is because we are silent. The reason he is taken out of our churches is because we are silent. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being silent. I'm going to stand and say, "Thus saith the Lord," because that's what we need to get back to. Thus saith the Lord God. Obey the word of God or disobey, and it's your choice. What are you going to do? 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 17 or verse 15 says, "But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers." That's the curse, folks. We look about us today and we look to government to help us, to get us through all of the issues, when what we need to do is to turn back to Almighty God and look to the Lord Jesus Christ to help us in through all of these things that we're going through. We could go through a whole lot less if we'll just repent and turn back to Jesus. That's what we need to do as an individual, as a church. And when we do that as an individual and as the church, then guess what's going to happen to the nation? The nation's going to turn back, because we're going to begin to pray. We're going to begin to share. We're going to begin to lead people to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that glorious thing that we call salvation, that only comes through knowing him as Lord and Savior. But there are penalties if we don't obey. There are curses for despising the word of God. We have heard people who have said that they don't believe that this is the inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God. I've known people who have gone through and stood behind the pulpits and they've said, oh, I don't like that verse. And they tear the verse of Scripture out and throw it away, the page. There was something on there I didn't like, so I just get rid of it. Jeremiah chapter 26 and verse 3 says, and it came to pass that when Jehudi had read 3 or 4 leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it in the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Here we have a king that some of his people were going through some of the old things in which they had found, and they had found the Word of God, and they had brought the Word of God to this king and said, here, look at what we have found. And he began to read it, and he said, well, I don't like that. And he took a knife and cut it out and threw it away, threw it in the fire. Folks, all through history, people have tried to destroy the Word of God. But I tell you what, the Scripture tells us that the Word of God will live forever. It will never fail, and it will never fail you. See, there are those who try to destroy it. There are those who try to destroy it by telling you that it's some book of fantasy. I don't know about you, but you know, have you ever saw the movie Fantasy Island, the series? Yep, Fantasy Island. Boy, that would be a great fantasy, wouldn't it, going to heaven? And I'm not using fantasy as that it's make-believe. I'm using fantasy as it's happening, and it's going to be fabulous because that's what it's going to be. That's what it's going to be. But if we tear the Word of God, if we despise the Word of God, we're not going to receive the blessings of God. It is a divine curse. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10 says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Do you realize that what Paul was saying here to the church in Galatians, that if you're going by the law and you break one little bit of that law, whether it's the dotting of an I or the crossing of a T, then you're guilty of all of it. Wow. That would be like telling me that if I break the speed limit by 5 miles per hour, I'm also guilty of being a murderer. That's what he's saying. Because if you broke one part of the law, you've broken all of it. Aren't you glad that Christ came not to do away with the law, but to do away with the curse of the law? For through him and his blood, we are no longer guilty. We are no longer guilty. And moving right along, I'm running out of time here. The third point that I want us to look at, and this is an encouragement to obey. And this is found in chapter 29, verses 2 through 5, actually. But we are encouraged to be obedient to the Word of God. We encourage to be obeying what he has to say to us. We need to remember where we were. Where were you when God found you? I'm not going to say you found him. I'm going to say he found you. Because he'd been looking for you all along. He knew where you were. He was just waiting on you to say, okay, Lord, I'll obey. So where were you? I know where I was. I was in a town called Heimbach, Germany. I was in my apartment. It was an upstairs apartment. And I was in the kitchen when God spoke to me that night. January 1st, 1976. At 12:01. That's why it was January 1st. Because it had just turned. And God spoke to me and said, Jim, look at what you're doing. Look at the drugs that are going through your system. Look at the alcohol that's going through your system. You are searching for something, and you're searching through it for it in the wrong places. He said, I'm what you're looking for. And I fell to my knees and said, yes, Lord, save me. And the next thing I knew, I was telling everybody to get out of my house and take their drugs and alcohol with them. And haven't done anything since except serve the Lord. I know where I was at. I remember what God brought me out of. What has He brought you out of? We need to reflect from time to time and remember where we were at the moment we got saved, and to know what God brought us from. Remember what He brought us from. Because when we remember what He brought us from, then we are so grateful for where we're at today. That's an encouragement, is it not? We need to remember the wonders of God. Acts chapter 6 and verse 8 says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. You know, in my 48 years of ministry, I've seen some miracles, folks. I've seen some miracles. I have sat back and I've wondered, Lord, how can you do this? It is so great. How can you do this for me? I have seen people who, in fact, I talked with a man in a secular college, in College of the Desert, in Palm Desert, California, that I met this man, and he was blind. And we were talking, and he said, yeah. He said, you know, he said, I used to have 20/20 vision, but I was blind. I said, what do you mean? You're blind now. He says, well, I wasn't always blind physically. And he's pointed to the scar that he had on here and the one that he had over here. He said, there was a noise outside my apartment, and I opened the door and stuck my head out just as the police officer pulled the trigger. And he said, the bullet went in here and came out here. He said, and God took my physical eyesight so I could see. He saw Jesus. He came to know Jesus. He knew where he was at. And he knew what God did for him. He saw the wonders. I have seen people that God said that you are, that the doctor said there is no hope. And I've saw them within 24 hours arise from that hospital bed and go home healed. And the doctor scratching their head, not knowing what happened. I've seen people who have come in and said, they've diagnosed me with cancer and there is no hope. They've just sent me home to die. Will you pray for me? And the church prayed for that person. And within 2 months, they were cancer free. Wonders that God does, miracles that takes place because we are obedient to Almighty God. We are encouraged to be obedient to Him. Remember what He's brought us to. A land flowing with milk and honey. You know, not only did Israel receive that blessing and was encouraged by entering into that land flowing with milk and honey, but do you realize that the United States of America became the United States of America because God brought our forefathers here into a land flowing with milk and honey? And God is blessed through the years because we have acknowledged Him for who He is and what He has done. We have acknowledged Him as being the creator of all. And we have praised Him and been obedient to Him. And in these past few years, we have turned our back on Him. I say few years, maybe I should say these past decades. We have turned our back on God. And this message is for you as an individual, and then for me and for the church and for this nation to remember what God has brought us through and encourage you to be obedient to Him. because we must be obedient to Him. So I want to ask you today, what will be your choice? To obey or disobey? You know, God created us as free moral agents. He gave us that gift, if you will, of choice. As you can tell, I'm not a Calvinist. He gave us that gift of choice. And so, what are you going to do today? What is your choice today? Obey or disobey? Blessings or cursings? In Joshua chapter 18, verse 3, Joshua asked this very important question. How long are you slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? Church, how long are we going to sit before we go and possess the land that God has given to us? He's given us this great land, this great country. Are we going to let it go by the wayside? Are we going to go in and possess it? I say, go in and possess. God wants us to take America back, folks. Back for Him. Back for Him. How long are we going to be sitting quietly and doing nothing? Joshua 24:15 says, and Joshua gave a challenge to the people to decide when he said, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. We've got to choose today. Are we going to serve the God of this world? Or are we going to serve the Creator of this world? We've got to make that choice. And I'm going to tell you, I like what Joshua's response was. And this is my response as well, and I hope that it will be yours. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Who will you serve? God has given you the choice today. Which will you choose? Revelation 3:8 says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. God has before the church today an open door. He has before you as an individual an open door. Are we going to walk through that door? Or are we going to get just so close and say, no, I can't go in. I refuse to go in. I refuse to go across. I don't know about you, but I want to be obedient to my God, and I want to step across that threshold. I want to go where God wants me to go. I want to do what it is that He wants me to do. He has that open door for us. And so will you, by faith, walk through that door? If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, I encourage you today to come to that saving knowledge of Jesus. And if you don't know how to do that, you come and see me in just a few moments, and I'll open the Word of God, and I will show you through the Word of God of how you can come to know Him as Lord and Savior. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, that we are a new creation in Jesus Christ. He wants to change your life. You know, I've said this over the years many times. The first heart transplant was performed by Jesus. He changed your heart the moment you got saved. Maybe you're here today and God is speaking to you as a member. You say, preacher, I'm saved and I know I'm saved. But God is calling you out. Will you answer His call? I don't know what He's calling you to do. But you do. God is calling you. You want to be blessed? Answer the call. You want to be cursed? Ignore it. You know, the most miserable person in the world who is the one who is called of God and not doing what God called him to do. Surrender to Him. Be that witness for Him. Whatever it is that He's calling you to do. Church, maybe He's calling the church right here, right now. Maybe He's calling Barbie's Grove Baptist Church to step out and to say, I need revival in my life and I need revival in my church. I'm going to invite you to come to an old-fashioned altar of prayer and seek God's will and say to the Lord, God, I want You more in my life. Or God, I want You in my life. Whatever it is that He's calling you to do, you need to step out and do. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask our music leader to come to lead us in a hymn of invitation. Our musicians to come to play for us. And as they do, I want you to ask yourself, what is God calling me to do? Gracious Father in heaven, we're so thankful for this opportunity today of bringing forth the bread of life. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as we come today to this time of invitation, giving people the opportunity to come to know You as Lord and Savior, to commit to You, Father, our lives, our church, and our nation. I pray, Heavenly Father, that You will bless us this day, and that as Your Spirit moves among us, that each and every heart will be tried, and those that are found lacking will step out and make that decision and that commitment to You. Thank You, Father, for all that You've shown to us. We ask that Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. You come as we sing, just as I am, because that's how He wants you to come, just as you are.